I liked just about everything about it. There was intrigue throughout the game. You know, the National League got out to a lead early off of Tarek Skubal, which was unfortunate. But when you go back and look at it, I mean, he had Shohei Ohtani leaning way across the plate, and Shohei being Shohei just kind of leans over and flicks his bat and somehow flicks it into very shallow center field on a weak bloop hit, but it's a hit. And next batter up, steps up to the plate and, you know, as an opportunity against Skubal, and that was Ronald Acuna Jr., and hits the slowest ground ball you'll ever see over to second base. Gleyber Torres, by the time he gets it, Acuna's already at first base. And then he got two on, nobody out. Ketel Marte then comes up and ropes a double down the line and scores both, and it's 2-0 before you can blink your eye. And then Skubal was able to settle down after that. But, I mean, settling down, really just gave up the one hard-hit ball. The other two, not bad. But giving up the two runs, people are going to look at it, and I understand some people may actually panic about that. Well, we'll hear from those people, I'm sure. But that's how the game starts. And the Tigers All-Stars didn't really make an impact in the game. 0 for 8 combined with a few strikeouts. That was unfortunate. You had the mention already of Skubal giving up the two runs in the first inning. And then you had Casey Mize had a chance to pitch later in the game. And only went 2/3 of an inning, gave up a hit, gave up a run. It was, of course, a home run that he had given up. Also had a strikeout in there. But he threw his 10 pitches, 8 of them for strikes, but one of them goes yard, and that doesn't look good either. So as far as the 6 Tigers, nobody really stood out as in a good way for the Tigers. So the local part, maybe not so good. And we do have a question about that. But as far as the rest of the game was concerned, I really enjoyed it. I mean, it is 6-0 after the big 4-run sixth inning for the National League. And then the seventh inning comes around, and the American League is able to plate 4 runs to make it a game. They score 2 more in the 9th to tie it up. And I was really pulling for the American League, hoping, let's go. Let's get one more run across the board and win this thing. Even though I didn't bet on the game. I don't have a vested interest other than I love the American League and I don't like the National League. And I always root for the American League. But it's not like I had money on it. So it ends up being a 6-6 tie. And baseball does something they've never done in an All-Star game before. And they've ended in ties before, and that was very unpopular. So what do you do when you have a tie baseball game in the All-Star game? Well, what you do is you listen to the Carson Anderson Show, because our producer Kang had the idea. Am I right, Kang, or am I right?
Listen, man, no one's going to remember this but me, because it was one of my most random ideas, but I brought up to you and Doug years ago about having baseball go into basically a home run derby swing off style like they did last night at the All-Star game instead of extra innings. And it was just I think at the time we're talking about how, you know, the popularity of baseball wasn't growing as fast as they wanted to. I think the fan base was older than they wanted to.
Yep.
And I had this crazy idea of just having, and it was a little different what they did last night, but what they did last night was totally fine. It was you pick a player from your own team, you get certain, you know, amount of pitches, and you just see who has more home runs. And then you continue until you find a winner. The fans get to watch basically a walk-off home run. You know, things like that. It would lead SportsCenter because it would be exciting. And it was radical, extreme. People didn't like it. But last night, and maybe it's just for All-Star games or whatever, but it showed how exciting it can be. And it was exciting. Was it not, Gator?
No, it was very exciting last night. And this is the part of where I said I thought baseball hit a home run with the All-Star game, and really with the All-Star festivities. I mean, I enjoyed the home run derby the night before, which normally I don't, but I did. And I'm still not entirely sure why I did, but I did. But with last night, it could have been a grand slam. If you're going to a swing-off, and then you're telling everybody that each team gets to select 3 batters, and each batter is going to get 3 swings, and then you total up the home runs at the end, and the team with the most home runs wins, great idea. Awesome. So when you tell me that, automatically I'm thinking, okay, here we go. American League, what are we going to do? Well, let's get Aaron Judge out there. you know, let's get Cal Raleigh out there and let's get, I don't know, how about, you know, Vlad Guerrero Jr.? That sounds like a good trio. And if you're in the National League, you're like, okay, here we go. Let's go Shohei Ohtani. Let's go with, you know, maybe Manny Machado and Kyle Tucker, or, you know, or you could even have said Kyle Schwarber and you would have been a king if you did, but that's not how it was. Basically what they did was, all right, everybody who started the game is basically in street clothes now. So they're going to be off limits. So we're going to go and look elsewhere, and we'll go with guys that were still in the lineup, and that's how we'll pick our three, which was fine. And it ended up being incredibly dramatic. And Kyle Schwarber, all three of his swings went the distance, and they didn't even need to go to their last hitter, which was Pete Alonso, by the way, which really would have been interesting because they do not like Pete Alonso in Atlanta, and yet he would have been trying to win it for the National League. He didn't have to because Kyle Schwarber did all he had to do, and that was awesome. But 248-539-9797 is a telephone number. I'm curious what the overall opinion was from the people out there about the All-Star game and about the All-Star week that they had. Just your general thoughts on the game, how it went. Are you triggered because the Tigers didn't perform all that well? I mean, 0-for-8, and then you had a couple pitchers that pitched one and two-thirds innings and just got hit. I mean, they gave up 3 runs during that time. How that affects you? Are you panicked at all more now than you were going into the All-Star break? My feelings have changed ever so slightly. I'll get to that in a minute. But there were other things about the All-Star game that were brand new too. And wondering, is this something that Major League Baseball should adopt right away? Now, whether you like the swing off or the automatic balls and strikes system, we can talk about it. Love to hear your thoughts. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1 The Ticket. You can hear the disgust in Tarek Skubal because he was mic'd up, which was kind of cool. You know, Skubal goes in there and throws the first inning and gives up 3 hits, a couple of runs, also had a couple of strikeouts. But 2 of those 3 hits were so weak, and yet it matters, right? You know, Shohei Ohtani, best in baseball, bloops a single to center field and after reaching way across the plate to get it. Good for them. Yeah, they got it done there. And the American League almost pulled off an incredible upset for being down 6-0 going into the 7th inning. They were unable to finish the job. It went to a swing off, which is, no, it's not something for adults. This is, they decided they were going to go with, thank you. Thank you very much. They were going to go with an actual, home run derby to settle the tie, which was kind of cool. Now, Kang, your idea was to actually do this during the regular season.
Yes, and I understand that was extreme and a bit radical, but I always fall back on this, Gator. As much as we love sports and we're all passionate about sports, in the end, it's ultimately entertainment. And I was just trying to find a way to make something more entertaining for baseball because at the time we were coming up with ideas just to help the sport, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think they'd adapt this for the regular season ever. We do have ghost runners on second base. Now, if you would have told someone that 20 years ago, maybe they wouldn't believe you. I don't think they would. I think every sport tries to come up with ideas or things that change, you know, the purists, you know, that challenges the purists or the elitists, you know, and because they're trying to make it better for everyone, more entertaining. And yeah, my idea was to do this during the regular season. But if you look at the other sports, like I mentioned, hockey's got the shootout. Right, soccer does a shootout in the World Cup and tournaments like that. So it's not. I don't think it's as crazy as it once sounded. And we saw last night. It's entertaining.
It's not as crazy as it once sounded. You're right about that. You think about all the rule changes that have happened. You know, really in all sports, but maybe some dramatic rule changes just to baseball, where now the interleague play went from being a thing that you did 2 weeks out of the year to being something that's played throughout the season. You're playing every team. Now we have the DH in both leagues. It's no longer National League pitchers have to hit, which was dumb to have, you know, one league play by one set of rules and the other league play by the other set of rules. And then they decided they listened to people, right? People complain about baseball. The number one complaint about baseball was that it takes too damn long to finish a game. And they were right. Games were lasting well over 3 hours. You would have games to go over 4 hours. And then if they go to extra innings, good God, they could go forever. So they knew they had a problem, and they adjusted, and they decided they were going to fix that problem. They went with the ghost runner thing at second base and you know, runner at second, nobody out, primarily speed things up. And then they coupled that, you know, a year later with the let's make some other rule changes here. And I with the pitch clock. And so that speeds things up dramatically. And all of a sudden we've got games being played, you know, like 2.5 hours. That's perfect. Love it. The NHL went from, you know, just playing a full on, you know, overtime that was a full, there was a full 5 minute overtime period, with 5-on-5 hockey, and nope, we'll have ties. Okay. And then like, well, we want to change that. Let's go to 4-on-4 and then we'll add a shootout. And it still was taking too long. So then it went to 3-on-3, and 3-on-3 hockey is exciting. And you feel like you're always going to get a winner in overtime. And yet it doesn't happen, but I would imagine it's probably 75% of the time, maybe more, that you do end up with a winner in overtime before having to turn things over to the shootout. And no, this is not how they get decided in the playoffs, but that's not what we're asking for. We wanted things to be sped up during the regular season. So if baseball were to adopt this rule, is it too radical of a change in the regular season? It's more radical than having the ghost runner. And I'm not sure how people feel about the ghost runner. But I imagine if the people who don't like the ghost runner are probably the old guard, Kang. And if the old guard doesn't like the ghost runner, they would hate the swing off. And yet I agree with you that it does add a ton of excitement. Everybody likes the home run derby. But even in the regular season, I much prefer to have the ghost runner in the regular season for baseball games. However, for the All-Star game, I love the swing off. I thought that's a perfect time to do it. It's, you know, it's a rare occasion it would happen. You go ahead and you do it. You literally have All-Stars competing in this competition. There, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, and actually this has been in effect since 2022. It's just never come up the way they had to use it, and I'm so glad it finally happened. I think it was it 2022 or 2023? I didn't do the research real quick. It almost happened, and I was like, I came in the next day and I told you guys, you and Doug, I'm like, oh, the idea almost happened, guys. They almost had a swing off, you know, and it didn't happen, but last night it did, and it was great. And I think it is perfect for All-Star games. I understand the reservation for using it during regular seasons, but I think ultimately the idea is, change can sometimes be bad, but sometimes it can be good too. So we should be open to things and new ideas.
Yeah, and last night everything was on display, right? You had different ways to watch the game because you had players were mic'd up, and I think it's great. They took a chance. They took a big swing by mic'ing up a catcher and a pitcher in the first inning of the game, and I thought it failed miserably. But I love the effort. It failed because I think you got, you know, Tarek Skubal's out there and he's a little nervous. He's just trying to get this game going. Cal Raleigh's not sure what he's supposed to say. And, you know, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to throw, you know, or the catcher's not going to say it because the batter's right there. And it just seemed awkward. And, you know, pitcher's only got 15 to 18 seconds to get that pitch communicated to him, to what he's going to do, and then throw the pitch. And when you've got somebody who's asking you a question on the fly and the question takes 7 seconds, and now you've got 8 seconds to deliver this pitch, I just thought it was a disaster waiting to happen, and it didn't work out all that well when Skubal and Cal Raleigh were mic'd up. However, when they mic'd up Clayton Kershaw, I thought, wow, now that's how it works. But there's a KG veteran. Clayton Kershaw, he's had his Hall of Fame career, been around a million years, and he was so relaxed with the situation that was the perfect time to use it. Now, in a regular season game, I do not want a pitcher mic'd up.
Well, I was just going to ask you that next, Gator. I mean, regular season, playoffs. I mean, because we're all about nowadays, everyone wants more access, right?
Right.
And doesn't Doug love the behind-the-scenes stuff? That's why he loves quarterbacks so much and Hard Knocks when it features the lines and things like that. And he loves the mic'd up players. How would you feel, Gator, as a fan, you know, Torres or Javi Baez being mic'd up during a game against, you know, something in the playoffs? Way more meaningful.
Yeah, I mean, look, they do it on Sunday night baseball with ESPN, and we'll see it Sunday night on the Skubal start. I don't know who they'll mic up during the game, but they do it. And I think it's great because it gives fans that inside access, which is great. And the last time they did it, it worked out perfectly. You had chatty players that were more than willing to talk, and they had good things to say. It wasn't just the, you know, yes, no, yeah, it's cool. You know, they weren't getting those short answers. You actually had some good responses out there, and it was a lot of fun to see that kind of interaction. And I'm all for that during the regular season. When you get to the playoffs, you probably don't want that. I mean, that's everything's more important. You know, miking guys up in between innings and then replaying that interview is fine. Or even if you're doing what they typically do during it, we even see it with our Tigers broadcast locally when they interview like one of the pitchers. Let's say they'll interview Scooble the day after his start. If he had a great start the night before, he'll talk. And they're much more relaxed in that situation. It's almost like having another guy in a booth. I like that. I like that a lot. But for playoffs, no, I don't think I want to have that. But last night, that was just one of the many things that they were able to pull off. It didn't work in one instance, and it worked brilliantly in another. You know, later on, they had somebody else mic'd up, I think over at first base, and they offered absolutely nothing. And it's okay. You know, you see, they ain't all gems, as I like to say. You got to take your chances with it. But there were other major hits. I think the swing off was a big one. I'd love to hear from the people at 248-539-9797. You can send us ticket text as well, the same number. What did you think about the swing off with last night's game to decide who wins the All-Star game? And also, what did you think about the automated balls and strikes system, the ABS system, where the pitcher or the catcher or the batter can simply tap their head to get a review because they think it was a strike or they think it was out of the strike zone? 248-539-9797. That was on full display. Tarek Skubal was involved in the first ever challenge from a pitcher, and he won it. It was pretty cool. What did you think? We'll talk about it next year on 97.1 The Ticket. National League wins the All-Star game last night in a swing-off. The first ever in All-Star game history. It was tied after 9 innings. They don't go to extra innings in the All-Star game. What they do is a swing-off. It was a home run derby. If you didn't stay up for it, you missed out, frankly, because it was pretty cool. The American League selected their 3 batters. The National League selects their 3 batters. Each batter gets 3 swings. And then you total up the home runs, and whoever has more wins. And they alternated back and forth. So it ended up that Kyle Schwarber was the hero, the Philly slugger, and the National League slugger ended up hitting home runs on all 3 of his swings, including the third one, which he swung from his knee, basically, and launched a line drive into the seats in right field. It was great. It was great. Brent Rooker got things going off for the American League. He hit 2 home runs in his 3 swings, and it looked like they were doing pretty well. Rosarena came up next for the American League anyway, and he hit 1, almost hit 2, but didn't hit 2. He only got 1, and that opened up the door for the National League and for Kyle Schwarber to be their hero, and he sure was the hero for the National League last night. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Asking people, you know, what was your opinion of it? Did you enjoy the All-Star game last night? Do you like the rule changes that they had? Because it was pretty cool, and there were some radical differences. You know, we had the automatic balls and strike system last night, and Tarek Skubal was the first one to use it as a challenge. And for him, it worked. It worked great because it was a strike. And ended up getting a strike out on that call. I think they went there were 3 challenges, and all 3 were overturned. So it showed that it worked. And there were only 3 challenges. I think there were only 3 challenges, which also tells you that the game was umpired pretty well. And one of those challenges, one was by, I think it was an inch, that it was outside the strike zone by an inch. And another one was called a strike, and it didn't even get an inch. It was on the extreme corner and barely nipped it, but enough to say, yep, that's a strike. But it was cool. They're using technology to the advantage of the rules of baseball. Do you like this or not? Is this something you want to see implemented as early as next season? The balls and strikes system, that is. The automated balls and strikes. Or do you want to see a swing-off? Would you like to see a swing-off replace the ghost runner at second base in extra innings? 248-539-9797 is a telephone number. I'm not the biggest fan of adapting, or I should say adopting the swing-off for the regular season. I think there's something to be said that you've got, I mean, the term extra innings is literally for baseball. And we use it for a bunch of different reasons outside of baseball. And I like having extra innings. I think the perfect vehicle to have the swing-off is the All-Star game. I thought it was perfectly suited there. There's some ticket text coming in. So after this weekend's sweep and the way that our guys played last night, I feel like they need to add a starting pitcher and a closer. If not, I don't see how we beat some of these teams with big bats like the Dodgers. That's Mark in Huron Township. Well, they've beaten plenty of teams that have big bats like the Yankees or the Padres or the Giants. They've beaten lots of teams, lots of good baseball teams. They've split when it comes to winning a series against Seattle or losing a series against Seattle. The Tigers can compete with anybody. Now, the Dodgers lineup is special. Sure it is. And I'd love to shore that up, and I think they need to shore that up. But do I think that they have to add a starting pitcher? I'm open to it. I don't think they need to do it. But if you can find an upgrade, go ahead and find your upgrades. As far as the closer is concerned, yeah, I think they need to find a high-end bullpen arm. Somebody who gets tons of swings and misses. Somebody who can get that job done late in the game. And AJ Hinch doesn't like the term closer because it's the way that he uses his bullpen. It's not, I'm going to save this guy for the ninth inning. It's, I'm going to save my best back end pitching for the leverage situation that I need them. If the heart of the lineup is coming up in the eighth inning, he's going to throw his quote unquote closer in the eighth inning because he wants the best matchup. And I agree with that philosophy. I think that makes all the sense in the world. So you may not have, you know, Will Vest may not have the greatest save total, but Will Vest is pitching like a really good closer. Are there better out there? Absolutely. Would I want to go out and get another arm or two in the bullpen? Yep. I've been advocating for that for over a month now. In fact, it was a name that was brought up. I saw yesterday in MLB Trade Rumors mentioned that a pitcher, David Robertson, who pitched for years with the Yankees. He's like 40 years old, but did pitch last season and pitched well last season. Had an ERA of 3. I believe had like 92 strikeouts and 70 innings last year. And his whip was his walks plus his per innings pitch was pretty low. But he's a free agent and hasn't signed with anybody. There are like a handful of veteran guys that hadn't signed. And J.D. Martinez was another one of those names that was mentioned. But David Robertson wouldn't cost you anything in terms of a prospect that you'd have to give up. Am I concerned that he's old or older? Yeah, a little concerned. But if the cost isn't anything and it doesn't work out, then you let him go. And there's really not much cost to it because he'd be signing for, you know, the rest of the season. And you're not going to give him, I don't think he's going to sign a 2 or 3 year deal at this point in his life. He still has something to give. Kick the tires, go send a scout out there, check him out, and see what's there. There were apparently, the report said there were several teams that are interested in David Robertson, and I do think the Tigers should be one of those teams. Would that be the only move? Oh, no. No, I'm all about going out and getting an actual major league pitcher. Somebody's pitching in the major leagues right now, getting that guy on this team? Yeah. I would love for the Tigers to go out and be aggressive with that. Be aggressive with Baltimore to try to get one of their arms. Be aggressive with Pittsburgh to try to get one of their arms. Be aggressive with Colorado or whomever. Get bullpen arms on this team and do it quickly. 248-539-9797. Joe is in Madison Heights. Joe, welcome to 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Joe.
Good morning, fellas. What we need to do first is figure out, it's in the book, what the strike zone is from the top of the chest to the kneecap. That's the first thing. And you have to enforce it. Second of all, you hire what you call a strike zone coordinator every ballpark has one, and their job is to adjust the strike zone from the top of the chest or top rail and have AI figure the kneecap. That way there is no problems or
you're talking about with the you're talking about calibrating the lasers or whatever for the ABS system.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. That's the big knock on it right now is that it's just a uniform strike zone, and that's not fair because whether you're Jose Altuve or Aaron Judge, it's the same strike zone, and it shouldn't be. You know, it has to change. It needs to change batter by batter because each batter has a different strike zone.
Yep, and show it on the TV. We all love toys. Show it on the TV, too. It'll automatically adjust, you know? I mean, AI, they got to figure it out.
Yeah, I'm sure they have it. They have the ability to do it. They should have the ability to do it. And then, you know, in the meantime, what we saw last night worked really well.
It really did, yeah. I mean, that was bottom rail at 100 miles an hour. You're not going to hit that too often. But as far as the home run derby at the end of the game to decide the game, not in favor of it at all.
What about for an all-star game?
Yeah, that's fine because you want to rest players, you know. Yeah, that's fine for the keep it like it is for the all-star game, but regular season, absolutely not.
I agree with you, Joe, and thanks for the call. I think it's perfect for the all-star game. It's you know, the fans have sat. The All-Star game lasts forever anyway because you've got all the changes going on constantly. And, you know, they're taking pitchers out after facing two batters. And in regular season games, you have to face at least three. And it happens all throughout the game. And, you know, you get to the end of the game last night, there were a lot of empty seats in the stadium last night. And I'm sure those people are now pissed that they left their seats early because not only did you miss a comeback, you missed what was the first in history. And that was to see the swing off with the home run derby, with the three players from each league getting their three swings and taking their chances. And the National League ended up winning it, setting home the National League fans happy. I thought it was a big success for Major League Baseball. And it wasn't just last night. It goes back to Monday night, too, with the home run derby and how that was. And a lot of these younger players competing in it, and you're getting to know them. So, like, when Brent Rooker competes in the home run derby on Monday night, and then he's in the swing off last night because he's in the game late, I felt pretty confident that Brent Rooker was going to get the job done, and he did. He had two home runs on his three swings because he had just done it the night before. Thought it was really cool. Some more ticket texts coming in. This is why I don't like soccer. It's because you can have a tie game. Real sports don't end games in a tie game or a draw game. Yeah, well, they didn't last night. They had other rules. Let's expand on that. They went to the swing off and they got it done. In regular season games, you've got extra innings. Yeah. If this is why you don't like soccer, fair enough. I don't like tie games either. I mean, you play a game to win a game. It shouldn't end in a tie, but you know, when it gets to World Cup soccer, they don't end in ties. You go to the shootout, which is kind of weird as well. In the Olympic hockey, it goes to a shootout. And then it comes really strange with, you know, you can have the same guy, or at least it was anyway, where you can have the same shooter shoot a bunch of times. It's what they did many years ago. And I don't know how many years ago it was, maybe within the last 10 years, it was how one of those games was settled. It was just strange seeing the same guys go out there with the breakaway to try to settle who was going to win that game. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. But going back to that first text we got about with the weekend sweep and the way the guys played in the game last night from the Tigers, the combined 0-for-8 with three strikeouts and the Scooble and Mize giving up three runs between them in less than two innings of work. Are you more panicked about this team after the All-Star game than you were going in to the All-Star game? You know, where is your panic level, and how important is it that they get something done here to improve this team in the next 2 weeks? The trade deadline is July 31st. That is 15 days from now. They're going to get something done. They got to get it done quickly. We'll talk about it with you next. 248-539-9797. Same number to text. We'll talk about it next year with you on 97.1 The Ticket. And there was a lot of that last night. Whether it was Paul Skenes or Tarek Skubal or, good God, there were, it felt like every pitcher that went out there was throwing 100 miles an hour. It was absolutely unbelievable. Mizorowski, the kid from Milwaukee, who some people were upset about because he's only had five starts in the major leagues. He's 4-1 on those starts. But some fans were bent out of shape because he was invited to the All-Star game. I mean, all he did was throw 102. Isn't that what we want to see? I want to see that. That was outstanding. I thought it was great. The whole game itself, just everything about it was really well done. Letting the players go back to wearing the jerseys of their teams so they're more recognizable. I mean, this was something Major League Baseball needed to do, and they did. And now it's just better that way. I can appreciate that they want to have the National League uniforms and the American League All-Star uniforms and have them be the same. But, okay, that's fine. You want to do that for the Derby, I guess. That if you're going to have the two jerseys, have it for the Derby. The All-Star game is what everybody's tuning into. You want to know, like, who is – oh, he plays the Blue Jays. Oh, I got it. That's who that guy is. Oh, he's with Baltimore. I didn't know that. Okay, cool. I like that. Maybe it's just because I'm nostalgic about it, and it reminds me of watching All-Star games when I was a kid in the early 80s. But that's I think, how it should be. And it felt like everybody was on board with it. You know, the announcers and everybody else, they were talking about – they mentioned the jerseys, you know, kind of unprovoked, which was pretty cool. But there was a lot to like with last night's game and just the All-Star weekend. It's not even a weekend anymore. It's the Monday and Tuesday, really, with the Derby and the All-Star game itself. I thought it was great. Ticket text coming in. What would be the move for the Tigers to get Brent Rooker? The dude is a stud. Yeah, Brent Rooker is – it's a crazy story with Brent Rooker. Because he wasn't always a stud. He's 30 years old. He'll turn 31 in November. And he was a 38th round pick initially. Did not sign out of high school. And then was a first round pick. Ended up being the 35th pick overall in 2017. But he started off with Minnesota. Did nothing with Minnesota. Went to the Padres. And then Kansas City, did nothing there. And I mean literally nothing. Like he had like 260 at-bats with the teams other than Oakland. And during that time, he had a total of 10 home runs, all of them with Minnesota. Goes to Oakland in 2023, hits 30 home runs, makes the All-Star team. Last year, hit 39 home runs, 112 RBI, hit 293 with a 927 OPS, wins a Silver Slugger Award. Not an All-Star last year, though, which is crazy. And then this year, he's played a league-high 98 games so far. He's got 20 home runs on this season, hitting 279 with 861 OPS. Yeah, he's great. Love to see him as a Detroit Tiger. The problem is that he's signed long-term, and not only is he signed long-term, he doesn't cost anything for the Athletics, really. His contract pays him $8 million next year, $14 million the year after that, then it jumps to $15 million, $19 million, and $22 million. He is not a free agent until 2030. They have him for the next five seasons at a very reasonable cost. Now, to try to get someone like that, you'd have to give up an awful lot. I mean, you're talking probably at least one of your top prospects. Would the Athletics be willing to trade Brent Rooker for Max Clark? Probably not. They'd probably want way more than Max Clark. So you'd really start depleting who your players are. In terms of your prospect pool. But the other thing is, you're talking about an outfielder. And certainly it'll be an upgrade over what they have in the outfield. I'm not opposed to it, but you'd got to really start offering up something big to get Brent Rooker. And I don't think Brent Rooker is going to be available for the reason I said first and foremost. He signed long-term at an extremely reasonable contract. For a guy who's going to have another 30 home run season likely this year, it'll be three straight. and you're getting him at roughly, you know, $14 million a year for the next 5 years, would you trade him? If you were a team that was getting ready to move into a brand new ballpark in a couple years in Vegas? Probably not. Probably not. But I like the idea. Certainly bring it up. He's one of those guys. And one of the things I was, one of the topics I had for the show today was, you know, what all-star do you want the Tigers to go get? And, you know, I applaud people for looking at the Athletics because it's not a good baseball team, but they do have talent. They're just not a good team right now. They don't have the pitching, but they do have some bats, and Rooker is one of those bats without question. More ticket text coming in at 248-539-9797. Has nothing to do with the All-Star game. I've held this opinion for a while, but I do feel like this team has a collapse in the second half. We've got maybe three above average bats and maybe two above average pitchers. It's almost like only Green, Glaber, and Skubal were the ones who actually deserved to be All-Stars. Mize, Javi, and Z-Mac didn't belong. Well, I would push back on that a lot. I think the team that they had last year, you could say they had three, maybe only three above-average players on the team, or above-average bats and a couple of above-average pitchers. I think you can make that case last year. This year, that's not the case. This year, when you look at the league OPS, which is around 715, the Tigers have a number of players in the lineup that are above average when it comes to OPS, which is on-base percentage plus slugging percentage, which is the new hotness in metrics. Dylan Dingler is above average. Javi Baez above average. Kerry Carpenter above average. Colt Keith above average. Gleyber Torres is way above average. Now we're getting to guys that have above an 800 OPS, starting with Gleyber Torres. Spencer Torkelson, as much as you want to say Zach McKinstry didn't belong in the All-Star game, Zach McKinstry has an 836 OPS. He deserved to be in the All-Star game. He was the perfect addition for an All-Star team because he can play literally anywhere in the field and you could bat him anywhere in the lineup. He's the perfect addition, late addition, as an All-Star. Now, do I think that's who he is moving forward? No, I don't. I'm amazed at what he's done, and I hope he continues to do what he does. What he's done this year. But his track record would suggest otherwise, at least in the major leagues, his track record suggests otherwise. In the minor leagues, he actually did pretty well. Riley Green is definitely above average. And then you got a small sample size with Wenzel Perez, but he has done way better this year than what he did last year. So I would push back on that. And as far as the pitchers are concerned, I do think the Tigers have more than two above average pitchers. I think obviously Tarek Skubal is one of the best in baseball. Casey Mize has pitched very well this year. Reese Olson is only, I think, has 11 starts, but he's pitched very well in those 11 starts. Like to see him pitch a little bit deeper into games now, but in the 11 starts, his earned run average is still below 3 at 2.95. And Jack Flaherty has not had a good season with the Tigers this year. It's a 4.65 ERA that is well below average, but he's showing signs that he's breaking out of it lately. And hopefully he's a big part for this team moving forward. We talked a little bit about it yesterday with Stoney, asking which player you want on this Tigers to step it up and be that guy. Who needs to be that guy in the second half? And I thought we had a pretty good combination of Parker Meadows and Jack Flaherty. If Parker Meadows and Jack Flaherty end up being the players in the second half that they were last year in the second half, then this team will be just fine. Because you'd be getting a Parker Meadows that hit 300, that ran as well as anybody in baseball, and that played elite defense in center field. And Jack Flaherty, you'd be getting a guy who, you know, went from having a great season with the Tigers to continuing to have that great season with the Dodgers and winning a World Series. Those two guys, if those two guys stepped up their games, I'd feel great about the Tigers. And assume that others would basically hold serve where they're at. 248-539-9797 is a telephone number, same number to Texas as well. We got some more ticket texts coming in. My son played an independent pro league in Colorado last year in the Pioneer League. And they're Major League Baseball partners, and they've experimented with the ABS and the swing-off. It's pretty cool. I like it this year's play in the American Association in Milwaukee, and they do not have it. He says that his son playing in the American Association in Milwaukee, and they don't have it. yeah, I love the ABS system. They use it in the minors. They used it in spring training this year. And I get it. Not everybody saw spring training games, but if you did, you'd notice that they had the system in play, and it works. And I love it for two reasons. First of all, you're holding the umpires accountable. So whatever grudge they may have against players, you can't have it because tap your helmet and then you're showing them up because you were way wrong in that. I told you you were wrong and now it's proven. The other thing is it's going to make the umpires better because they know that they can't stray like that. They have to really pay extra attention. For the most part, umpires do a great job. But it can always be better. And if you've got technology that helps you make it better, why not? Tennis does it. Which, by the way, is another area where baseball needs to implement the lasers and all this is down the lines so that you can determine if a ball is fair or foul when it lands, you know, on the line. If it kicks up chalk, you'd think it's a fair ball. It's not always going to be that way. But, hey, there have been a couple instances this year where it would have been nice to have cameras right down the line, perhaps with the laser technology that they use in tennis that determine if a ball or a serve is in or out. Do the same thing in baseball. Love to see them add it like that. The swing off is perfectly fine for the All-Star game, but it's too gimmicky for the regular season. Imagine your season ends because you lose a swing off. I agree. But I think for the All-Star game, it's great. And when Kang brought this up years ago, it was during the context of a conversation we were having about how to make baseball appeal to the younger fan, because it only appealed really with the demographics were so old for baseball and games were taking forever and just looking for creative ways to get out of it. And Kang actually came up with the swing off idea. It does work perfectly in the All-Star game. I thoroughly enjoyed it. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Same number to text. You want to comment on the All-Star game. What's your panic level with the Tigers? Has it changed at all after we've seen the All-Star game, after we saw the Tigers go 0-for-8 with three strikeouts and Skubal and Mize combined to give up three runs in an inning and two-thirds? Are you more panicked now than you were going into the All-Star game? We can talk about that. And we got rookies reporting at Lions camp this afternoon. Got some football stuff we're going to get to next here on 97.1 The Ticket.